To God be the glory for all of the things that he has already done. For I stand before you to say that if he don't ever do anything else in my life, he has already done enough. That's the kind of God that we serve. That's the kind of God that brought us from yesterday to today. That's the kind of God that's keeping us in spite of ourselves. That's the kind of God that continues to bless us even in our shortcomings. That's the kind of God that look beyond our faults and continue to supply our needs. I don't know about you, but that's the kind of God that I serve. That's the kind of God that is in control of my life. That's the kind of God that keep me grounded in his word. That's the kind of God that we should serve without hesitation, without reservation, because he's worthy of all praise. Amen. Amen. This is the first Sunday of the month of March, and I am just so grateful to our pastor-elect, Reverend James A. Brooks II, to allow me to stand behind the sacred desk and to say a word from the Lord. Because he didn't have to, he could be standing here himself. But I thank God for his humble spirit. Amen? Amen. Amen. And so today, this morning, if you have your Bibles, if you turn with me to the book of Hebrews, the 13th chapter. And just for a minute, I won't allow you and I won't have you to stand very long. But I just want you to go to the 13th chapter and I want you to look at one verse for me this morning. Amen. Amen. From the King James translation of the Bible. While you're turning your phones or your Bibles, while you're looking in the scripture, let us pray. Oh God, I thank you for your awesomeness. I thank you, oh God, for your mercy, and I thank you for your grace. I pray, oh God, that you would continue to shine your light upon me, realizing, oh God, that your mercies are new every morning. Father God, we thank you, oh Heavenly Father, right now for the word of God. And we pray, Father God, that we may hide the word of God in our hearts and that we may not sin against thee. And now, God, our Father, we pray, oh Heavenly Father, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. And with your Bibles opening in the book of Hebrews, the 13th chapter and the 20th verse reads thus. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Amen. 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 God's word is already blessed. You may take your seat. God's word is already blessed. And this morning I want to talk to you. I know this is the first Sunday, but I want to talk to you about this subject, a fortified foundation. A fortified foundation. All right. Now, I don't know how many of you have traveled around the country, and I'm talking about in the United States, whether you've been overseas or not. I just wondered if any of you have traveled around and have you ever been to New York. And in New York, the Empire State Building is one of those buildings that's 102 stories, and two-story skyscraper right dead in the center of New York City. And I was reading and I found out that it was completed in 1931, and the building is 1,454 feet tall from the street level, somebody hear me today, to the top of that antenna. You see, millions of people walk by every year and look into the clouds to view the majestic appearance, its stone carvings, and its sheer magnitude. But if you would, for just a few moments, allow me to tell you what they don't see. They don't see the 55-foot foundation below the ground level. The foundation work began even before that old Waldorf Astoria hotel was demolished on that same site. Two 12-hour shifts consisting of 300 men each worked continuously to dig the 55-foot deep foundation. Small pier holes was sunk in the ground to house the concrete footing that would support the steel work. The work had to be perfect because the foundation would have to support a combine of 10 million pounds when the building was finished. Yes. Or when you get technical, some people like to get technical and they say 18,000 pounds per square inch of steel and stone. All the great buildings need a deep foundation. And so here in our text from the Hebrew writer is that kind of a foundation. These words are the deep foundation for the building of a very great prayer. In the very next verse, in verse 21, the writer is about to ask his reader for nothing less than a complete and thorough submission to the will of God. He is about to ask you to be perfect in every good work and to be well-pleasing in the sight of God. And as we read it, we wonder how could we expect such a far-reaching goal from our stained lives? Somebody asked, isn't it too much to ask? Well, yes, it is. If we look at ourselves. But we are not the foundation of this prayer. Every great prayer needs a firm foundation. His prayer's foundation and yours must be built on three bricks. It must be built on the God of peace, the risen Savior, the risen Shepherd, and the everlasting covenant. Oh, I wish somebody would pray to me today. Right. You see, first of all, the God of peace. I know it sounds like a benediction for our tumultuous lives. We all want peace. Right. You see, peace is the unshaken ground that holds us fast when everything else around us is going belly up. Look at what's going on in our country today. When we think that everything is settled and going fine, our things are going belly up. Number 45 is doing some things that no other president in this world, in this life, in this country has ever done. And because we are living and looking at this shaky foundation, everything that we got going on is going belly up. You see, the writer may have been addressing the early Christian church with his agitation at the adjustment of the collapse of their familiar system of religion. Because we know that there was division among them. How were they supposed to be good if they were no longer required to make sacrifices of lambs and goats? How could they atone for their sins if God no longer required it? It's all the more reason for this prayer's great foundation, the God of peace, to remind them that He alone is able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless before his throne of grace. When we take a look at what was going on back then, and we talk about we're talking about the atonement of our sins. We talk about the atonement of the sin, and we know that at that time, for the atonement of the sin, they would use goats and bulls, and they would have to be the first of the. They would have to be first without a spot or a wrinkle, and they would take them into the tabernacle. They couldn't go in very far, but they would take them and they would lay them on the altar, and they would divide them up, and the blood was sprinkled on those that brought them in for the remission of sin. I'm so glad today that I don't have to kill a goat or a lamb or a dove for the remission of sin. I'm glad today that Jesus the Christ, his blood is all that I need. You see, there's only one way a person can find peace, and that's by being good. Nothing else can secure our tranquility. Nothing else can secure our harmony. Nothing else can secure our serenity like being good. And I tell you something, being good requires submission to mission to God, to the God of peace. If you want to be good, you need the God of peace. Because I stopped by to tell you, without him, you would fail. And let me see if I can get on somebody's street here today so you know what I'm talking about. No one teaches a bird how to fly. No one teaches a fish how to swim. No one teaches a duck how to quack, or a dog how to bark, or a snake how to bite. And no one teaches a man how to sin, because sin is our brand, our label, if you would. And if we want to be good, the place to start is with the God of peace. If we have the God of peace, his peace will be shared abroad in our heart. When our foundation is the God of peace. When our foundation is the God of peace, we will not likely find evil attractive. When our God is our foundation in God's peace, our affection won't become poisoned. When our foundation is the God of peace, our imagination will not become corrupt. When our foundation is the God of peace, our character will not become damaged. When our foundation is the God of peace, our testimonies will not become tarnished, and our souls will not become scarred. Yes, the God of peace is a great foundation for the writer's prayer for our perfection. But not only that, I want to tell you about not only the God of peace, but the other thing that I want to talk to you about is the risen shepherd. You know, if the God of peace can bring Jesus up from the grave, imagine what the risen shepherd can do for us. I don't know about you today, but on Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. I like it because the Hebrew writer called Jesus the great shepherd. Perhaps he called him a great shepherd because he set him apart from the leaders of Israel, there is certainly no comparison between the two. What can we expect from a great shepherd? Well, I'm glad that you asked. We can expect that when he touches us, yes, we are made whole. Christ imparted his life to his people. He removed all the stumbling blocks to our perfectness. and assures us the triumph we desperately, so desperately need and desire. And all we have to do, children today, is trust him. Trust him to bear all of our burdens. Trust him to fill all of our pains. Trust him to be our sure foundation. When you plant a seed in good soil, when you plant a seed in good soil, the first thing that began is a root. And as the root began to make its way up through the good soil, then there's a little stem that come up. And when a stem began to come up out of that good soil, then finally a flower would show. And all the ingredients for success are in the seed. I wish somebody would hear me today. The same is true for your faith. When Christ plant his seed, the same is true of your faith. When Christ plants his seed in your good soil, there can be no failure. The good shepherd, not me, not your mother, not your father, but the good shepherd is in control. If he is your foundation, every step you take, every spiritual brick you lay, every prayer you lift to the heavens will find its way to God's throne, and your life will flower with good. Goodness of his gift and his grace, the goodness of his miracles and his mercy, goodness for his help and his hope. Good God Almighty, do you know that when you accept Christ as our Savior, it's like exchanging pebbles for pearls? When you accept Christ as your Savior, it's like changing dust for diamonds. We give our hearts to him, and he gives his seed to us, that we might be good and glorify the Father which is in heaven. Somebody say, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. No wonder the Hebrew writer made the risen Savior an essential part of the foundation for perfectness. But that's not all. There is still one more essential brick to fortify our foundation. And that brick is the everlasting covenant. Here's the best part of this foundation. God is under obligation to himself and to us to fulfill this promise to trust in, to our trusting souls. We have his word, and his word cannot be broken. I can hear what the Bible writer says. He said, I will write my law on their inward parts. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. This is God's promise to every man, woman, boy, and girl on the face of this earth. God says, you can trust me because my covenant with you is written in my own blood. The God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Why would Christ have died on the cross of Calvary unless it was to bind the contract that would take away our sins? Do you know that there's only the only thing that can take away your sin is the blood of Jesus? Nothing But the blood of Jesus can wash away my sin. But there is more. Erasing our sin is not all that this everlasting covenant promise. When Christ removed our tainted sinful blood from through his sacrifice, he also replaced it with his blood to give us a new life. Somebody here today should have a new life because God has entered in. Christ has entered in where Satan once resided. Christ has entered in a place where alcohol had resided. Christ has entered in into a place where whoremongering had resided. Christ has entered in into a place where a backbiting has provided. But Jesus, how firm of a foundation the peace of God, the risen Savior, and the everlasting covenant. He can't change this. You can't change this. Good God Almighty. You can reject it, but you can't change it. The God of peace, the risen shepherd, and the everlasting covenant are a threefold cord that cannot be broken. They form a foundation that is able to bear up under the weight of the lost village hope. And as we plant the steel girders of each season of our lives, from childhood to adulthood to our twilight years, somebody hear me today. This sure foundation is the only foundation that will hold fast. You see, there is no sense of building a shaky foundation. You see what I'm saying here today? Let me see if I can get on somebody's street. Your baptism certificate just proved that you got wet. Your church contribution just proved that you support the church. Your church letter just proved membership. But I want you to hear it, not discipleship. You can fortify your foundation today. You can lean on the everlasting arms of God. You can trust in God's precious promise. You can believe God's grace is sufficient. You can build your hope on nothing less but Jesus' blood and righteousness. He is the risen Savior of the God of peace. He is at the center of everlasting covenant. Don't fix your eyes on the carnal and the material. Check your foundation and build your hope on things eternal. I just want to tell you today that I know a man. His name is Jesus. He's my solid rock. He's my foundation. I build on him. He build on me. I'm talking about Jesus. I'm talking about Mary's baby. I'm talking about Jesus, the one that the Bible says, you hear him talking about 14 generations. Well, it came from Adam to here in 14 generations. He came from here to here in 14 generations. He came from here to here in 14 generations. 14 generations, 14 generations, 14 generations. Good God Almighty, somebody need to know that it came through 42 generations to come on this earth through a virgin named Mary. But that ain't all Jesus done. Jesus walked this earth, turned water into wine at a party one night. Jesus walked this earth, put spittle on the ground, rubbed it on a man's eyes, made the blind man see. That's not all that he done. He went to Mary and Martha, where Lazarus had laid in the grave for more than 4 days. And he walked to the tomb, and he just said, Lazarus. Come on. and Lazarus got up from the grave. Good God Almighty, Jesus said, loose him and let him go. But there's something else I want you to know, that he's my foundation. Yes, he is. He went to Calvary's cross. Somebody say it was a hill that looked like a skull. Some people call it Calvary. Some people in the Bible says Golgotha, but he went up Calvary's hill. He had a young man, Simon of Cyrene, to help him carry his cross. And you know what they done to Jesus? They put nails in his hand. They put nails in his feet. They planted a crown of thorns and put it around his head. He bled on Calvary for you and for me. But you know what they didn't do? They didn't close his mouth. And he looked down at his mother, and he looked at John. He said, woman, behold thy son. Son, behold thy mother. Something else that he said, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Good God Almighty, I'm talking about Jesus. I'm talking about the Son of God. And God said, for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He hung on the cross from the sixth to the ninth hour. Then I can see him. He looked up in the heaven and said, Father, into thy hand I commend my spirit. He bowed his head in the locks of his shoulder. He gave up the ghost. Yes, he did. Oh, you're glad about it. They laid him in a tomb. He lay there for 3 long days. But the Bible says, early on Sunday morning, he got up with all power of heaven and earth in his hand. I'm glad that he's my foundation. I'm glad that he looked beyond my faults. I'm glad that he supplied all my needs. He went on back to heaven and rained down. He's making intercessions for you and for me. And I'm so glad that my foundation ain't shaky. I'm so glad that he done for me what he can do for you. I'm so glad that I got the foundation that I need. I'm so glad that my fortified foundation won't be shifted. I'm glad that my fortified foundation have kept me in the midst of the storm. When the storm cloud rise, he kept me. When I couldn't find my way, he kept me. When I was too sick, he kept me. When I couldn't walk, he kept me. When I did everything, he kept me. When cancer covered me, he kept me. When I went astray, he kept me. He walked with me, he kept me. He told me, he kept me. I can walk with him, he kept me. He told me to shout out loud, he kept me. Somebody need to know that Jesus kept you. He kept you in spite of. He kept you. Yes, he did. And what he's done for me, he can do for you. Praise God. Bless you. A fortified foundation.